It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
It is a football Friday. Sal Capaccio joins us. Our first football Friday of many. It's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the Yates. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922, as we check in with Mr. Sal Capaccio. Sal, I've got a stat of the day for you on last night's game. How are you? Good morning. How much did you watch? Did you bail out at the weather delay like so many did?
Sorry about that. I watched until halftime, and then I kind of started dozing off, and then when my eyes went back to the TV, I saw people running back on the field, and they said there was a weather delay. I'm like, oh, I don't think I missed anything. I'm going back to bed. It's okay.
Well, here's your stat of the day. You watched till halftime.
I watched till halftime.
Yeah. You got the good half, because here's what happened. The first eight drives of Cowboys-Eagles all ended with points. The last eight drives ended with no points. That is the only time in the last 30 years a game has started with eight consecutive drives with points and ended with eight consecutive drives without points.
Wow.
So that's the kind of game you got. If you saw the first half, you got a lot of what you wanted. If you wanted points, and if you saw the second half,
you had nothing.
Nothing. Snooze.
And you had to wait an hour for the nothing.
Yeah.
An extra hour.
So there you go. Season's underway tonight. Chargers and Chiefs from Sao Paulo, Brazil.
That's right.
Yeah. Very excited to watch
YouTube,
that game.
If you're looking for
games on YouTube.
YouTube.
I am
free YouTube.
I am ready to have my disgust for the Chiefs bubble up tonight. It'll feel good.
Do we know, maybe, because Sal, I know you, well, you're more on like the ref stuff, but like broadcasters too, do we know who's calling the game? Who's Ooh. Doing YouTube? Because what like Netflix did last year is they kind of licensed it out to other networks people, and I wonder if YouTube's doing the same thing. I would imagine, but I'm not sure. And I don't know if
Let's
you guys
see if we have, does 506 Sports have it? Have you guys seen it yet?
Would 506 have the broadcasters?
YouTube. Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner.
All right.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, good.
By the way, this will not happen next year. They cannot have a Friday night game week one next year.
Yeah, that's right, because of the Sports Broadcasting Act.
Correct.
They could decide, of course, to say,
yeah,
who cares, screw it. But, the way the schedule works out, they're not supposed to go up against Friday Night Lights, high school, college.
Well, they generally have followed that.
They have,
right?
But they've also the story we read last week, Sal, was basically they had also said that they wouldn't broadcast on Wednesdays or Tuesdays, and they did that for Christmas.
Right.
Is there not also a little bit of a rumble the season might move up a week? And if they want their 18th game, want their 18th game, they move the season up a week. All of a sudden, they're allowed to go back in for a Thursday, Friday opener, and even Saturday.
That's correct, but I mean that would be pretty ambitious to do that next year.
That's
right.
That's right.
I mean, I think, but you're right. Yes, true. I think eventually you could see something like that with Labor Day being the start once again.
All right. Well, Sal, it's Sunday Night Football on the way. We'll watch the Chiefs and Chargers tonight, and the AFC race begins, of course. The Bills and the Ravens renewing this rivalry, I suppose. Like, whatever. There's respect between these franchises, I think, and also a rivalry. Well, the Bills have knocked out the Ravens in the playoffs half as many times as the Chiefs have knocked out the Bills. Like, one more, and you're getting close. So, I don't know that there's really bad blood, but there's plenty on the line to talk about between these two teams in Week 1 and the matchup itself. Let's get the injury report, though, out of the way first and figure where things are going into this Friday. The injury report, Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. So where do the Bills sit with injuries going into today's practice?
Well, a lot kind of happened yesterday and even some changes from Wednesday, to be honest with you. You guys mentioned it there in the update. Tyler Bass went from being limited on Wednesday to not practicing at all, and the Bills added a kicker, Matt Prater, to the practice squad. Pretty concerning for me. I mean, when that happens, you're like, wait a minute, he didn't practice, and they added a kicker. He had this pelvic injury that kept him out most of training camp, and now he's listed as left hip / groin. Now, I don't know if that's a new injury or if it's the same injury and it's just being termed differently. I'll ask that to Sean McDermott today when he joins me on the Extra Point Show, but maybe he gives us more clarity on Tyler's status anyway for Sunday, and we'll find out. That being said, another concerning one was Elijah Moore not practicing, but we find out afterwards it was for personal reasons. So hopefully there's nothing there to worry about. The good news was Christian Benford went from limited to full. So he's good to go, obviously. And then obviously Tre'Davious White, 2 days in a row, not practicing. That's the one where, you know, now that you're Wednesday, Thursday, no practice, you're probably trending towards not being able to play on Sunday. But again, McDermott will give us the first injury report and possible game designations when he joins the Extra Point Show today. Sometimes he declares guys out. Sometimes he says we'll wait and see.
Right. Dorian Strong's name comes up a bit this week now because of potential injuries at the position. And Bobby Babbage had a lot to say about him yesterday.
He said that he has the jump he has made in the last 2 weeks has been unbelievable. I think that's the word he used. But it was pretty notable to hear him talk like that. And talk about Dorian Strong coming in. Listen, the sixth-round rookie. We all remember Christian Benford was a sixth-round rookie. Wound up starting that year. And I gotta go back and think, like, did he even maybe was he on the field the whole time or not? But remember, he beat out Kyer Elam for that spot. And now you have another sixth-round rookie. Could they find somebody like this, like what Christian Benford became and Dorian Strong? That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? I mean, Tre'Davious White's been the starter all of camp until he got hurt on, you know, August 21st, I think the date was, right before they went to Tampa. If Dorian Strong can become a legitimate starter, I mean, then when Tre'Davious White comes back even, you wonder what happens. But in the meantime, if Dorian Strong has to play Sunday night, it's going to be really interesting because you have a rookie, Sunday night football, in this situation going against Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. I think they would test him quite a bit if that's the case, and we'll see if he's up to the challenge.
You know, Sal, given the injuries in the secondary and the unique challenge that Baltimore provides, I wonder, you know, people always ask this question, like, oh, is Taron Johnson coming off the field and linebackers and blah, blah, blah. The thing I think about with Baltimore that challenges them is Taron Johnson has even said it. They invite teams to run the ball, right? They want teams to run the ball. And yet, in this matchup, they might want the pass, maybe, right? Because it's about keeping Lamar in the pocket and not wanting to get beat by Derrick Henry. And I wonder how they will really make that work this time around. And what your thought was how they did from a scheme standpoint when they played him in the playoffs last January.
The thing that really jumped out to me when they played him in the playoffs was if you go back and watch that game, from the very first snap of the game, it was evident the Bills said, you are not going to run Derrick Henry against us tonight. That's not how you're going to win this game. And they just, every single snap, went right after Derrick Henry, closed down gaps, made him go laterally. It was, we are going to reduce down and squeeze down everything from the tackle to tackle. He's going to have to move his feet to right or left. He's going to have to go laterally, and we're going to tackle him. And they did a really good job of that. As the game went on, give the Ravens credit, they started to wear on the Bills a little bit. And in the third quarter, it really came alive. The third quarter, the Ravens just kind of started really moving the ball down the field on the Bills. And that kind of carried a little bit in the fourth quarter. The Bills had the fumble, obviously, by Mark Andrews, which really mitigated a lot of that. But the Bills really made sure in that scenario that they couldn't run it. And what I found interesting was the Ravens did not run. I think we talked about this the other day, Joe. You had the stat. The Ravens did not run Lamar a lot at all. Like, he didn't pull it out of the belly of Derrick Henry and take off. And I wonder if game one, Lamar a little fresh, right? You're not, you know, 18 games into a season, and, you know, does it the other way? We say, hey, we have a long season, we're not going to do that. I wonder if the Ravens have a different approach, but the Bills certainly, and the Bills did play some base defense. What they generally did, and this is why I say Patrick Ricard, which we didn't talk about their injury report, and we can, but Patrick Ricard, to me, he's the kind of the key here, which is when he's on the field, when you see him run on the field, a lot of times you see another linebacker come on the field. Like that guy, like your job in this scenario might be like Shaq Thompson, right? Shaq Thompson or Dorian Williams. You see Patrick Ricard run on the field, you go on the field, right? It's just, it's like matching up in hockey when you have a top line and you want to put your best defenseman on it. The Bills have kind of done that against the Ravens a little bit when they've gone heavy with Patrick Ricard. If he doesn't play in this game, I wonder what that means or how they want to play all that.
Yeah, yeah. Taron Johnson had played, I think it was still 60%, but it was like the lowest snap count he had played in a game where he didn't get hurt or was a blowout in like 2-3 years. Like, it had been a while. And again, even 60% shows, you know, how important he is. I've heard you say that a couple times this week, Sal, with the Shaq Thompson, Dorian Williams thing. It's not really like a listed starting job, but if they go
base... It kind of is, isn't it? Don't the Bills have three starting linebackers listed?
I'm not sure, dude. Maybe they do.
On their depth chart, they do, actually.
Okay. If they do run base in this game, Do you think it could be Thompson? Because Williams was good in spots last year. Like, he's not a perfect player, and he was the guy in that package in the playoff game. But do you think that it could be Thompson?
Yeah, so on the depth chart, Joe, they have 12 players listed on defense. Mm-hmm. They have three linebackers and also Taron Johnson. And at linebacker, they have Matt Milano, Terrell Bernard, and Dorian Williams all listed as starters. Shaq Thompson is listed as the backup to Matt Milano. Joe Andreessen listed as the backup to Terrell Bernard. I think we all kind of know that Dorian Williams is generally the backup to Matt Milano, but do the Bills have something different for him planned this year? It's very possible. The Bills have used Dorian Williams in a number of ways. Not only as an extra linebacker sometimes, Dorian Williams is a spy sometimes. He came in, there was a game in Kansas City, the Bills won in the regular season a couple years ago. He was the spy at the end of the game on Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. He's got speed. He can move around. Like, this is somebody, they really like a lot of the attributes Dorian Williams brings. Well, now you have a guy in Shaq Thompson, and you say, okay, what is his strength? What is Dorian Williams' strength? Where can we put him? So to answer your question, I wouldn't doubt if it's Shaq Thompson if they did that. I also wouldn't be surprised if it's Dorian Williams. I think if the Bills go base, you could look at either guy right there. I'm very interested to see how all that takes shape. And the other part of it is maybe it's just Ravens specific, right? Maybe this week it's you go base against them, it's one guy. You go base against another team down the road, it's a different guy because of what they pose. So I do think it could be Shaq Thompson. But on the depth chart, the Bills do list three linebackers as starters, and Dorian Williams is listed as the third starter next to Milano and Bernard.
Do you remember how the Bills treated Lamar in this way? You know, talking about spies and whatnot. I mean, man, you might have been, if you're a Cowboys fan, you might have been yelling at the TV last night, like, where's the spy on Jalen Hurts? Because he just kept taking off. And I thought about that for Sunday. And thinking back, I don't know, didn't Milano do a lot of that against Jackson in the playoff game?
He did. In fact, if you remember, at the very, very end of the game, Milano wasn't on the field. He tweaked his hamstring. And everybody's wondering, why did Matt Milano not play? And he was standing on the sidelines. And we find out, it was as the team went into the Kansas City game, that he was dealing with a bit of a hamstring issue. Because at the end of the game, there was a play there where you can clearly see he is spying. Like, he's just standing right there, mirroring him. And then there goes Lamar, and Matt Milano flies to him. And at the very end, you could see him kind of go up in the air. You never saw him get hurt, actually, but he just didn't play the rest of the game. But remember, too, like, he did the same thing against Bo Nix. Remember, he chased down Bo Nix on a third down play mm-hmm. and sacked him. I was like, oh, my God, Matt Milano is back. So no doubt, Matt Milano can definitely be used as a spy. And, yes, they did do that last year against the Baltimore Ravens with Milano. So I just think there's a lot of different ways that you could try to go about it, but at the same time, it just puts you in a conundrum, right? What do you want to do? You want to take Taron Johnson off? Want to use Matt Milano as a spy? You're also hurting yourself with ways that, you know, these guys are very good at what they do, and if you have to have them just focus on this other thing or take them off the field in Taron's case, you know, it's a tough deal, and you have to make a lot of tough decisions if you're Bobby Babich.
Bills and Ravens, Sunday Night Football at 8:20 for the season opener. Sell the Bills offense, of course, right? Like, getting back to work and trying to find the same formula they had. A couple of new faces, but nothing too crazy. Maybe the biggest change we're going to see is how much Jackson Hawes is going to be used instead of Alec Anderson, or how they kind of juggle that, because the Bills, of course, like their heavy sets and their extra offensive linemen. Did they draft Hawes to give them more flexibility when they're in that set?
Yes, 100%. Jackson Hawes, to me, is going to be the new Alec Anderson. And this is not anything new. We've talked about it since he was drafted. What does that mean? Well, instead of the Bills having a guy go in and say, I'm eligible, and the referee says, number 70 is reporting eligible, and everybody knows that they have an extra lineman in, and he's a very good blocker, and he can block, now the Bills don't have to have a guy go report because he's wearing an eligible number. He can still do the exact same thing because he's, as Joe Brady said yesterday, by the way, the best blocking tight end they've ever evaluated. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
He gets on the field, and now you can throw him a pass. And he has an 80s number. And not only is he eligible, like Alec Anderson would be, it's actually what he does. Like, he's a tight end, right? He's caught passes his whole life. And I do think that's the case. So what the Bills have always tried to do under Joe Brady, even Ken Dorsey, like, just this philosophy they have as an organization, and I think Joe Brady has really leaned into it as much as he can, the Bills have tried to just dictate what you have to do on defense, right? Which is, okay, if we do this, you have to counter this way. And that's what we want, right? Like, you talking about, Joe, how Taron Johnson says we invite teams to run. The Bills want to do that on offense. They want to say, hey, look, when we put this guy in the field, we know you have to put another linebacker, and that's what we want. So we're going to do that. when we don't have this guy in the field, we know you're going to have to put another DB, and that's what we want. I do think that. And I'm wondering if we even see like three tight end sets with Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, and Jackson Hawes. Now, traditionally, you hear three tight ends, you're pounding the ball. That does not have to be what the Buffalo Bills do. They want to throw the ball to their tight ends and use those matchups to their advantage. And now they have a really terrific blocking tight end in Jackson Hawes. What they believe is and should be and is, but he had some injuries last year, a really good receiving target tight end in Dalton Kincaid, who can be a matchup problem. And a guy who's kind of in between, and Dawson Knox, who can kind of do a little bit of everything and help you out in all different situations. So I think they've kind of formulated it really to exactly what they want here.
And also now Hawes doesn't have to report eligible like Anderson would have.
It's really
had
a favor
on every
it's
play.
A favor to the officials.
Yeah.
I did look for Jackson Hawes anytime touchdown. Well, I didn't find it.
I don't know how often this would have happened, but I remember once or twice at least where there would have been a penalty just because maybe even Anderson was disputing it. Like, I reported. Oh, you didn't report.
Yes,
remember the Cowboys Lions game?
Yeah.
Like, you just don't have to deal with any of that nonsense with Hawes.
It's exactly right. It's exactly right. Joe, I was looking back. You were talking about snap counts. I went back also and I looked at last year's snap counts in the playoff game. It is funny because the Bills, the Ravens ran 59 offensive plays. Mm-hmm. Of those 59 offensive plays, their fullback, Patrick Ricard, was on for 25 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many Taron Johnson was not on the field for?
Was it
23?
So almost
so they basically took him off. And if you do the math, they took him off the field pretty much every time Patrick Ricard was on the field.
The thing is, you're talking about how the Bills did a good job on Derrick Henry in the first half, Sal. In this segment, you know, as I'm listening, I went back and I looked at the game against Baltimore and what they did in the run game, just statistically, play by play. And you're right, like Henry in the first half, Henry had 21 yards on 8 carries, and that included a 10-yard carry. You know who really hit the Bills last year in the run game was Justice Hill.
Yes.
Justice Hill had runs for 9, 11, 11, 2, 22. It was the change of pace, and that's something Baltimore did in the second half. And I wonder if we see them try to do that. Like the Ravens are tough to stop at the run game, not just because of Henry, but also because of Lamar, who ripped off big runs against them as well. They gave up 176 on the ground in that game, the Bills did, in a game that we feel like they kind of held them in check in the run game. So, you know, it's a testament to what Baltimore is and the challenge they present because they're so multiple in the way that they can run the ball. And then, of course, you know, Lamar is a very accurate passer, and he's got his full boat of receivers. It's a big test for this Bills defense.
No doubt. And listen, last year, I mean, the Ravens outgained the Bills by 134 yards. The Bills were, I'd say, kind of pedestrian, you know, on offense. They didn't have this really wow game. But I also think they wanted to play, I'll use a hockey term, Jeremy, a low-volume game. What is it? What do we say all the time?
Low-event.
Yeah.
Low-event
low game. Game. I think the Bills wanted to play a low-event game.
The Bills, were kind of that all year last year, Sal. Like, if you look at the number of plays they ran fewer plays than a lot of teams.
That's right. They wanted to play more of a low-event game, and it worked last year. And the reason it worked is because they basically said, we're going to wait till you make a mistake. We're going to force you into a mistake. And they did. It wasn't just, everybody remembers the punch out, right, by Terrell Bernard, and what a great play on Mark Andrews, and that was obviously great. He also had a drop pass earlier, I believe. Derrick Henry had a big drop pass early in the game down the sidelines, would have went for big yardage. But also, to remember, there was a high snap, Lamar tries to corral it, he does, timing's off, here comes Damar Hamlin on a safety blitz, grabs him by the ankles, Lamar spins around, drops the ball. Von Miller almost takes it to the house. You guys remember that play?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? That happened in this game. Like, that's the kind of thing when you play the Baltimore Ravens. I think the Bills' approach last year was, we're just going to play this game and be really smart about everything, not make a mistake, and they're going to make a mistake, and we're going to capitalize. And it played out exactly like that. And I don't know if that will be the same kind of, you know, game plan going into this one. I think the Bills are a little more well-equipped to try to attack the Baltimore defense with their wide receivers this time around. Remember, the last time last regular season, they didn't have Khalil Shakir. He played. He got hurt early, and then he got behind the defense on a busted play, right?
Yep.
He got hurt early in that game. You know, and I think that they're a little bit more equipped, especially if you believe that Keon Coleman is going to make this jump and Dalton Kincaid is healthy. Like, I just think they have a better opportunity, even though you have a great, great Ravens secondary. 5 first-round picks in that Ravens secondary, including Jaire Alexander, by the way, who did practice again yesterday in full. So, you know, he'll probably be available. And I just think the Bills are a little bit better equipped if they want to do that. It's not going to be easy, though.
Bills and Ravens, Sunday night, 8:20. Okay, so extra point show coming up today. You've got Sean McDermott. The time can float a little bit for people that want to hear from the Bills head coach. What's the best estimate, maybe?
Yeah, I would say after 10:45 until 11:30, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I know that they do production meetings, you know, for TV and things like that. And then I'll get Sean McDermott, and then he'll do another local media session after that. But he will reveal or tell us at least the injury report for the day and maybe even game designations. I'd start listening at 10, obviously. You want to plug that. But in the meantime, I wouldn't expect him right at 10 o'clock. It's probably closer to 11, but you never know. Sometimes that's what I believe, and then they have to push some other meetings off, so they come over at 10:30 and, you know, get on the phone. So be ready today. Sean McDermott, his weekly Friday radio appearance on the Extra Point Show that will start today. Real quick before I leave, I heard you guys talking about home openers, all that kind of, it was a great job, by the way. I think I could do that with the late 80s ones, by the way, what you were doing.
Do you remember your first home opener?
Like I ever went to?
Yeah, the first home opener you went to.
It wouldn't have been until here when I moved back here to Buffalo. Okay. When I was, no, that's not true. I was at Syracuse University. First home opener I went to, I believe, would have been the Pittsburgh Steelers game where Jim Kelly threw 5 touchdowns, including 4 to Don Beebe.
All right.
Is that 91?
I think so.
The only reason I know is because I had the 91 Bills yearbook and watched it 10,000 times as a child.
Oh my God.
I know that I know that season better than all those other ones.
There was a home opener in there against the Rams where they just completely demolished them.
Okay.
There in the Super Bowl years, there was one against the Dolphins though, where Louis Oliver ran one back for the Dolphins, like 103 yards for a touchdown. The Bills lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
88 was interesting. They played the Vikings at home, which was an odd home opener. They didn't have Bruce Smith. He was suspended actually at the beginning of the season there. But I also remember 86, Jim Kelly's first ever game, that home opener. That was a frenzy in Buffalo. Like, we got Jim Kelly. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty cool. They lost the game to the New York Jets. Not home opener, but the Ravens have played 5 games as the Ravens because they are not considered the old Browns. The Ravens have played 5 games, including the 2 playoff games inside Highmark Stadium. Do you remember all 5?
Okay.
They have the 2 playoff games.
This.
You know that.
2 playoff games. They would have played a game where Lamar beats them here. It's like 24-17.
Yeah, John Brown at the end against Marcus Peters.
Yep. There's that one.
That's 2019. Very good. Yep.
Okay.
Those were in red, I think.
Other than that, man.
You got to remember the one before that.
The one before that.
Like, just wait, this is just Jackson.
Just the Ravens.
Just the Ravens.
This is Ravens. That was Jackson's only played. That was the first time he played at the stadium. So not Lamar.
Of course, there's the 2 playoff games. We already had the Taron Johnson pick 6. Those are Lamar's 3 games here. There's no more than those 3, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
But the one I'm remembering thinking about the legend of Kiko Alonso.
Oh yeah, did he have a bunch of interceptions in a game?
Yeah,
against Flacco.
Yeah. 2013, the Bills win that one 23-20. And then the one that I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to go back and remember this one. The Bills won a game against the Ravens at home. The first time the Baltimore Ravens as the Baltimore Ravens ever played inside Highmark Stadium was October 21st of 2007. You remember that game at all?
October 2007.
I don't know if I do.
I don't. I remember more games in Baltimore than I do in Buffalo.
Yeah, I know.
What happened October
07 was Kyle Bowler was the quarterback for the Ravens.
Don't remember.
Trent Edwards for the Bills. In this game, Willis McGahee had a 46-yard touchdown run to put the Bills for the Ravens. He had a 46-yard touchdown run for the Ravens. McGahee came back to play for them. And then Marshawn Lynch scored Derek Mason late in the game, but it wasn't enough for the Ravens. I just don't remember much about this game.
Yeah.
Are you old enough, Sal, to remember the Baltimore Colts coming to Highmark Stadium in the early 80s?
Yeah. So here's what I remember about Baltimore. I do remember, Joe, I never went to a game. They'd already moved to Indy when Jeff George, that's another home opener, by the way. Jeff George's first game ever was in Buffalo after he was drafted number 1 overall by the Colts, and the Bills just crushed him.
Okay.
Same thing with Drew Bledsoe, drafted 1 overall by the Patriots, and the Bills crushed him. But before that, Baltimore comes in, and what I do remember was the Bills weren't even that good, but Baltimore was so bad at the time in the mid-80s that I remember Van Miller's distinctly on the radio. The game wasn't on TV. I'm listening on the radio, and Van Miller says, "We're in the third quarter, and the Colts have yet to cross the Bills' 50-yard line." Oh my God, that's how bad they were.
Well, they would have. I'm looking now. They would have come here every year because they were in the same division when the Colts were in Baltimore.
I guess that would be true. That's true. Yep. But I never went to a game, but I do remember them playing every year. Obviously.
Yeah, 83 is the last year before they move. So,
all right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio, he's coming up 10 o'clock on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We have an open segment next year for On Hold. We'll get your calls in on Bills Ravens on this Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the Yates. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel, game day ready since 1922. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR on a Football Friday. And we'll be back in a snap because it's time for a break. Back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Unsportsmanlike conduct. Defense number 98. Number 98's defense actions has disqualified him from the game.
Whoa.
15-yard penalty.
Whoa.
First down.
So Jalen Carter, the focus and the star for the Eagles on the front line, out for the game before a snap. Here he goes. He walks there in front of Dak Prescott. Did he spit? Did he spit on him?
Then, a second later, something happened that changed us in a very deep and profound way from that day forward.
He spit on us. And I screamed out, I'm it!
So I was just reading about another famous spitting incident. Roberto Alomar, you might not remember this. This is a long time ago. Let Grandpa tell you a story.
I know Roberto Alomar.
Roberto Alomar spit on an umpire.
Oh.
Yeah, when he was at the Blue Jays.
Okay.
I think he was at the Blue Jays at the time. He spits on it. I looked it up to find out what kind of suspension did he get. It's 1996, and Alomar spits on John Hirschbeck, an umpire.
Mm-hmm.
He was suspended for 5 games as a result. I remember being a big deal. Social media didn't exist back then, but on SportsCenter and this kind of behavior, blah, 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 he gets suspended. I found an article that Hirschbeck and Alomar have ended up becoming friends. They put it behind them. Remember that time you spat in my face?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was wild, huh? Anyway, they came together and found a piece of ESPN from 2000 kind of commemorating that.
What about the Bill Romanowski spitting
incident? Was he suspended for what?
I don't know. Was he suspended?
He was fines, not suspensions.
Wow.
So Carter is likely to be fined and not suspended.
Man.
Is probably the answer there. We'll get some phone calls in. Yeah, Bill Romanowski spitting on J.J. Stokes. Terrell Owens spit on D'Angelo Hall.
Okay.
Yeah, the NFL has historically only fined players for similar incidents. Okay. Gordon in Buffalo. Hey, Gordon, good morning. Happy Football Friday. Hello, Gordon. All right, he's not there. Let's go to Butch. Butch, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I love MSG. I love WGR. And to all the fans who listen and watch this great show, I definitely love each and every one of you. I'm going to get right to it. I'm not going to sound redundant because Sal already kind of spoke about some of the things that I was going to speak on. But I'm just going to turn it up a little vibe, turn the volume up a little bit more. What Sal said was, when we let Dorian Strauss, it's going to remind you of Christian Benford's situation when he came in as a late round pick and got thrown in and beat out, in this case, career Elam, who was injured. But at the same time, he never got his job back. Now, I'm not saying Maxwell's not going to have his job back, but I will say this. This man could come in. He had a game watched last night. He got a game to watch tonight. He has veteran leadership in that room, like Travis White. Then he has Poyer, and he has all these other guys that's played his games in their 30s. And at the exact same time, well, he could go in and make a name for his own self. Knowing that he got a guy on the other side of the fence that's playing with him, that was in the same predicament a few years ago. And I expect Baltimore to challenge him. I want Baltimore to challenge him. I want him to make a mistake every now and then. I remember years ago when Cam Lewis came in, we played against Minnesota here in Buffalo, and Cam had a play with Justin Jefferson. It was one outstanding play that Justin Jefferson caught the ball, but Cam was in the right position. It made Cam Lewis who he is. So saying that, I understand what Sal was saying. I thank Sal for saying that, but I'm going to say it again. But now to turn the volume up on that a little bit, you guys were speaking about Shaq Thompson. I'm going to say this to you, Bobby Babbage, if you're listening, Sean McDermott, if you're listening, you're under investigation on this. You got Dorian Williams, who's ready to be a superstar linebacker. He's 24 years old. Don't get me wrong. When Matt Milano was out last year, Dorian was always one of the leading tackles in the NFL. Leave the guy alone. Let him play. We don't have any AFC championships on the show for us, but with the exception of back in the 90s. Let the young kid, when you got a kid like him, leave him alone.
Yeah,
you got a guy from Carolina. But let me say this, and I'm going to thanks for taking my call. It's the last thing I'm going to say. Last week I was going to call you guys when we got Gabe Davis. Let me tell you something right now. Terrell Shavers is better than Keon Coleman right now, and he's darn sure better than Gabe Davis. So listen, so offensively, let's get the young players playing. Let's play the game. Don't overthink this thing. Don't try to play Dr. Seuss. This is lineup 11 against 11. Let's go. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I love each and every one of you.
Thanks, Butch. I am, you know, I don't know if you go into a game like this more concerned about run defense or pass defense. I would. With Baltimore, it's tough because it's not just Henry.
Mm-hmm.
As we pointed out in the playoff game, you could say, well, Henry only got going game script. They're trying to get back in the game. They're down 11 points at halftime. And in the second half, Baltimore's runs were for 11, 12, 2, 6, 3, 17, 22, 15, mm-hmm. 5, and then no more runs after that, really. So they got back to their run game, and they got it going. Pick your poison. What are you more worried about, the run game or the pass game defensively? I don't know. I think the Bills are really in tough in this game. And whether it's Dorian Strong, you know, what happens in this game doesn't define Dorian Strong or TJ Sanders or Deion Walker or any of these guys. But, man, I guess I would say it, there's a lot of ways to say it. If they do something really well defensively in this game, if the defense comes to play,
mm-hmm.
I want to hear lots of praise for Sean McDermott. Lots. I know it's one game. Mm-hmm. I know his true test that he has to pass is the playoffs. But they are undermanned in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they put a scheme out there, and if they have answers out there, and they have guys like Dorian Strong ready for a primetime moment with Tre'Davious White and Max Hairston both unavailable, lots of praise for McDermott, for Bobby Babbage, for their defensive staff. Because it'd be a big... big win for them defensively to stop the best offense in football, one of the best offenses in football.
Yep.
With what they have back there.
I wonder if he can get away with it the way he has in the past. Because in the past, throw anybody in there. Throw in Wallace, throw in, you know, when Benford's a sixth-round rookie, like just, you know, plug a guy in, Josh Norman at 34, and they've been able to protect that guy. But wasn't a lot of that because they had two all-pro safeties back there?
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, okay, here's another one where you got a corner in there that, if isolated, could get exposed. Well, we're going to shade to help over, protect him a little bit. Maybe we got to leave Benford on an island more often than we normally would our other corner. Find some way to protect that guy. I wonder if they've got the ability to do that the way that they did when Poyer and Hyde were back there. Because what does that sound like? Like, oh, I need to help Dorian Strong. Cole Bishop, who I'm already worried about.
Right, like, he's someone that might
you
need.
You got more on your plate now?
Yeah.
We don't even know if what's on his plate in the first place is something he can handle.
It's something I've seen plenty say about this defense last year, is that they helped their safeties. They didn't feel comfortable.
Right, not
really
the other way around.
Yeah. And we'll see. That's another part of this. If the safety room comes together... tons of credit for McDermott, for trusting it and hitting it, because the safety room, I thought last year's safety was a big liability, and there are no changes to it. Really none.
To the safety room?
Yeah.
Other than the guy who's on the field.
Well, Bishop, but I'm saying he's in the room.
Yeah, he's in the room.
There's no changes to the room. It's Bishop, it's Hamlin. Last year, Hamlin ends up being the guy because Bishop got such a late start. So, and I, you know, they...
Poyer.
Poyer.
Although he was not the safety they elevated to the active roster.
That's right. That's a special teams guy.
Yeah.
803-0550. They of course, drafted Jordan Hancock, who might be in the mix there. But
right.
Anyway. All right, 803-0550. More of your phone calls. Andy Major of the Bills joins us at 8 o'clock. Some game day stuff you're going to want to know about. Also, I want to let you know, if you're a season ticket holder, there might be something coming for you. I think we're going to hear some news on that. So, you know. Keep it in mind. That's coming up. Andy Major, 8 o'clock. Chris Brown, 8:30. Lots still to get to. It is a Football Friday on WGR. Time for the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. All right. Trey White, he's on the injury report with a
groin injury. No practices in a row after not practicing all last week. Like, I would not be hopeful at all that he plays.
Also, Tyler Bass, not hopeful that he plays. And the Bills are not going to let Ray Davis kick in this game, so Matt Prater could be elevated from the practice squad as a result.
Matt Prater, who played against the Bills in 2008.
Yeah.
He's old.
He played.
He could be the oldest Bill.
Is he the Lions kicker that had the laser in his face? Is he the Lions kicker? No, it would have been a Bills kicker that had a laser in the face. He kicks.
Kyle Orton had a laser in his face.
And Dan Carpenter, maybe?
Dan Carpenter. Yeah.
Is Matt Prater on the Lions during that game?
2014 to 2020, probably.
Yeah. He's there with Detroit forever. Anyway, good morning. Football Friday. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. I'm reminded of the term woosah. Remember that? Woosah.
I remember it being referenced, but I don't remember what it's from.
Woosah. It's Gene in Delaware told us about it. It's from the movie Bad Boys, but also like it's a Baltimore thing.
Right.
It's woosah. You got the woosah energy. I guess they say it in Baltimore.
Yep.
You just say it to calm yourself down. So, Sunday night.
Woosah.
What do we do for that? Drink a beer.
We jump through tables and we drink a beer, basically. No, we call in, we vent.
Right.
We get it all out, I think, is what we do.
Speaking of which, Christian McCaffrey added to the injury report.
Speaking of venting.
Yeah.
Come on. 2 years in a row?
Real
mysterious
quick.
Mysterious calf injuries for McCaffrey the day before the season starts. At least this wasn't the morning of the start of the season.
What you're hearing is a man who has drafted Christian McCaffrey all over the place.
Unbelievable.
You've got a big McCaffrey portfolio?
Yeah, I got a few. I've got a few shares. We don't even know whose backup is. At least like if you knew who the backup was to have, but they traded for Brian Robinson.
And the other backup is
Isaac Guerrero.
Yeah.
Good luck guessing which one that is.
McCaffrey on the injury report. I had a fantasy draft last night. We always do it right leading into the game. And the McCaffrey calf injury news hit Twitter. And it's an auction draft. And I was thinking, boy, I hope nobody else has seen this. And sure enough, he got nominated. And he went for a decent price, like the normal price. Whereas if the individuals had all seen the McCaffrey calf issue, they might have backed off a little bit.
All right. Yeah, they probably would have.
Yeah. 803-0550. Our phone number. Andy Major, when we get back, we'll tell you all you need to know about going to this game. Andy Major's the Bills Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience. Some of the new things to get to. There's a tweet going on about hot dog prices I want to ask him about because I'm not sure if it's accurate. So we'll do that. Andy Major on ingress, egress, security, policies. A lot of you are going to this game, the final season at Highmark. Make it a great one. And we'll chat with Andy Major next. Chris Brown at 8:30. We do have time for your phone calls next segment because we won't take Andy the whole way. So if you want to jump on and talk about this Bills-Ravens matchup, do so. We're here hanging out on a Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922.